From the Macomb Library for the Blind, welcome to our podcast, Change in Vision, Change in Attitude, where we talk about ways sighted and visually impaired individuals can successfully adjust to vision loss. I'm Barbara Shipman.
And I am Sharon Latatsky.
And together, we will talk about topics relating to vision loss. And today, we will record our fifth episode, Sharon. Can you believe that?
Yes, it's amazing.
It is amazing. We came a long way, I think, from the very first episode. So today's topic is communication. Say what you mean and mean what you say. Mm-hmm. So, Sharon, tell us a little bit more about that.
I like that title because that is what I think is the basics of good communication skills. Be upfront, say what you really mean, and mean what you say. Don't beat around the bush. Don't try to imply anything. Don't assume that the other person necessarily knows or understands what you're saying until you check that out. Those are just really basic communication skills for anyone in any situation.
And as a sighted person, I know when I started working for Macomb Library for the Blind and Physically Handicapped, mm-hmm. I've never had the experience to work with patrons, co-workers with a low vision or no vision. So the key to a successful relationship with a coworker or with library patron is, like Sharon mentioned, communication. Communication is key, to ask questions and not to assume. So let's start with family members, Sharon. What's the best way, or what's the communication process that we should both sighted in and low vision individuals?
Well, we're talking about family members, and that could be anyone. That could be any one of our loved ones. It could be a daughter, a spouse, a parent, anyone who is beginning to experience vision loss. It could be sudden. It could be gradual. It could be a situation where it's not so much the vision loss as it is the results of the vision loss, which means we're not able to do some of the things that we did before, or we're going to do them differently now. And so that's going to involve really sitting down specifically with our partners, our loved ones, to really discuss this topic one-on-one and really give each other a chance to talk about it and give each other a chance to be heard as we talk about these things. So initially, it's very important, I believe, to go through this process where you describe to the other person, you tell them, here's what's happening. There are certain things I can't do anymore. So because I can't see very well, I'm going to have a harder time reading the dial on this microwave. Or I don't see the shoes that you're leaving in the middle of the floor. Or I'm not able to maneuver around that coffee table very well. Okay? So you're giving them an idea of the difficulties that you're having, perhaps. But you can go deeper into that and talk about, because I can't do this anymore, I am really frustrated. Or because I've tripped over your shoes again, I am really annoyed with you because you should know better than to be leaving those shoes in the middle of the floor. That's what I mean when I say, upfront, direct, say what you mean. Telling each other, what the other person can do instead. You're leaving your shoes in the middle of the floor. I'm really annoyed. I'm going to get hurt. I'm going to fall. I'm going to trip, whatever. And I'd like you to move them and keep them in one spot and one spot only so that I don't have any accidents. Allowing the other person to respond to that and listening to what they have to say about it. And listen to the different suggestions that the other person might have as well. Letting that other person talk about how they're feeling about your vision loss is also very important, especially if it's a spouse. all of these things come into play and are just, they just go such a long way in building understanding about this whole process, because it can be very upsetting. And in the end, it's very rewarding. But in the beginning, when you're first adjusting to it, it can be quite challenging, I guess, is a good word, right?
I totally, yeah, it is. It, I mean, it's never, you know, final. I mean, you're always learning. So mm-hmm. it's, you know, you might need to talk to that, you know, you may need to talk to me, Sharon, mm-hmm. as your coworker, mm-hmm. and remind me that, you know, there are things that you need help with, or maybe I'm not doing things correctly or the right way, mm-hmm. and that that I should do it a different way that will, you know, benefit both.
You know, I do remember there, from time to time, as we're working together, I don't remember exactly what happened in terms of, did you send me a note, you wrote me a note, or you, whatever, and we both kind of laughed because at the minute you said it, it was something that we both recognized that was something that wasn't going to be really helpful, and I remember us just sort of chuckling over it, because even though we know each other, mm-hmm. and we know how to work with each other, mm-hmm. every once in a while it was still, okay, I wrote this down for you. Okay.
Right.
And we laughed. It was
right.
It was funny. You know.
That's a good point. And having a sense of humor too.
Oh yeah.
Will make the transition so much easier.
Absolutely.
Yeah. And I like the idea of when you know, tell somebody, as the someone with low vision, tell your sighted loved ones, you know, mm-hmm. that by doing this, you know, I'm going to get hurt. Mm-hmm. So mentioning the consequences too, really, you know, mm-hmm. I think gets through to that person's head that, okay, I gotta be mindful and not put my shoes mm-hmm. in the middle of the living room.
And that, you know, and that other person may say, you know, I really resent that I have to put my, you know, shoes away all the time. Mm-hmm. Darn it anyway.
I know where they are. I don't have to. They need to have that opportunity to express that as well.
Right. Yes. Because, I'm sure frustration is equal between.
Sure.
Between.
Sure.
The loved one with sight and one with low vision or mm-hmm. no vision at all.
Exactly.
Yes. Okay. So so we touched base loved ones, and also we touched base a little bit on coworkers as well. Mm-hmm. Anything about friends? I know relationship with friends is different than relationships with family members.
Yes.
So how would you approach the communication process with them? Sighted friends.
Okay, well, you know, we choose our friends, right? We don't mm-hmm. choose our family members.
Mm-hmm. Okay, well, you know, we choose our friends, right? We don't choose our family members. So our friends, it's interesting to me, and it has been interesting over the years. Long-term friends, people that you haven't had in friendships for a very long time, I think go through this process as well. Friends also have to get used to the idea that your lifestyle has changed, and in essence, the friendship changes as well. So if you want me to go out to dinner, you know, with you, we're going to have dinner together. We're going to have to make arrangements now as to how am I going to get there. So either I'm getting my transportation over there, or you, my dear friend, are going to have to come pick me up. So here's this process now that's a little bit different. We are depending on each other a little bit differently now. And that changes, the essence of the relationship as well. And that has to be discussed. There are times when I've had conversations with friends who will talk about how upsetting it is for them to watch me go through the process of learning how to live and sort of have fun in this sort of lifestyle, this what I call the blind lifestyle, which is a little bit different, obviously, than sighted folks. So, and there are times when it does affect the relationship, the friendship, to such an extent that it dwindles after a while. That's not terribly unusual. And yet something that can be addressed in the same way by really sitting down with somebody and discussing it openly and with really upfront, direct conversation.
That's a good good advice too, Sharon, to mention. And how do you handle that when a friend is not as involved in your life because of that?
They're sort of not on the same page.
They just couldn't make the transition as well. You know,
correct.
They just couldn't make the transition as well.
Yeah. Correct. It is what it is. And as long as you've had the conversation, as long as you have really talked about it in all honesty and trust, and respect, again, I guess I can only say it is what it is. Mm-hmm. You accept what's happening. Mm-hmm. And it's okay. So, for instance, in a really basic situation, I would much rather have someone tell me, no, I can't help you, or no, I can't pick you up, mm-hmm. or whatever. I'd much rather hear that than them doing, picking me up or mm-hmm. going shop or whatever, when they didn't want to, because I can feel the resentment. So, to me, it's better not to even go there in the first place. Mm-hmm. Be honest with me, and I'll be honest with you.
It's amazing how being open and honest can, solve a lot of problems. And let's transition over to a different kind of, sort of different type of communication, which mm-hmm. is assertiveness. Mm-hmm. I know that being assertive can be hard for some people, like myself. I'm sort of an introvert and try not to be confrontational unless it's required. So how important is it? I mean, I know it's important for me. I try my best. I'm still working on it. For somebody with low vision or no vision to be assertive. And how can,
we are all a work in progress, right? And we have to, in some families, in some cultures, in some, it's easier to be assertive than in others. It's just part of our upbringing. Who knows why, okay? And why is probably not a good question to ask anyway. Assertiveness has to do with speaking up for ourselves, telling people what we need, telling people what we want. Here we go again with that upfront and direct manner. Here's what I need. Here's what I'd like you to do for me. Here's what will be helpful to me. That sort of thing. That opening the conversation, opening the dialogue. Aggression, on the other hand, would be a little bit more in your face, so to speak. You might hear more sarcasm. You might hear more, you could have handled that differently. Well, thanks a lot. That was, that didn't help me out any. That sort of, as opposed to just saying, we could have worked that out a little bit better. Hostility is at the other end of the spectrum where mm-hmm. people are just really getting nasty.
Mm-hmm. And some people think that being hostile mm-hmm. will get them what they want. Uh-huh. But it's just, I think, the wrong kind of attention.
It's like, you should see this white can and you should know why this is here.
Yeah.
It's like, you should see this white can and you should know why this is here. And why aren't you acting the way you're supposed to be doing these things? And
The person who you're speaking with just totally blocks that out. And all they can hear is just this very hostile voice, not the message. Suggest not to go that route, not to be aggressive, not to be hostile. But you can still be assertive without...
Yes. And sometimes it helps just to rehearse.
Yes. Yes. And sometimes it helps just to rehearse. You know, when I go into the store and I'm going to ask for this, and this is what I'm going to say, and this is how I'm going to do it, and nothing wrong with that. There's nothing wrong with, especially if you're not used to asking for what you need. Most of the time, one of the things you learn very quickly when you do need assistance is that if you do not ask for assistance, nobody can read your mind and they do not know. And so if you don't ask, you're not going to get it. You know, they just, you can't assume that they know what you need.
Right.
If you don't speak up, you're going to miss out. So you sometimes you have to practice it if you're not used to it.
And even though you have low vision or no vision, you have a guide dog, you have a mm-hmm. cane, mm-hmm. people still won't approach you and ask.
Correct.
Ask you if you need help.
Correct.
So that's where communication is very important.
Well, and by the same token, if they ask you if you need help and you really don't, just a simple, no thanks, I've got it.
Mm-hmm. Well, and by the same token, if they ask you if you need help and you really don't, just a simple, no thanks, I've got it, mm-hmm. is all you need.
Mm-hmm.
You don't have to explain it. You don't have to, you know, just no thanks, mm-hmm. I've got it.
Mm-hmm. And you did mention, you know, being assertive in a public mm-hmm. environment. Mm-hmm. So I know it's different for me. I mean, I'm comfortable being assertive mm-hmm. with my family and sure. friends because, you know, I know them. They know me, and I'm comfortable doing that. But in a public area, mm-hmm. a restaurant, a pharmacy, doctor's office, mm-hmm. I know it's harder, I think, mm-hmm. in my opinion, to be assertive. So are there any tips or suggestions like you can give somebody on how to get their point across?
I think I probably the thing that helps me the most is to be friendly. You know, just when I first approach someone, I am generally, you know, trying to be pleasant. I mean, I generally am a pleasant person. But I will be careful in how I address someone to begin with before I even ask them for what I need or to tell them what I need. So it's a friendly hello. It's a how are you doing today? You know, as opposed to, hey, I need you to do X, Y, and Z. You know, or how come this hasn't been done yet? Or how come, you know, that accusatory stuff. That is just not gonna a simple, you know, smile, a simple, just friendly disposition in the first place, I think goes a long way.
And that could benefit both sighted and non-sighted
sure.
individuals. And even, you know, since most of us are now relying on computers, technology, phones to speak with people,
good
I think you can be pleasant.
Good point.
Too.
Yep.
You know,
yep.
be without
careful.
Saying.
Be careful. Yeah, be careful with the texts.
Yeah,
and
So let's talk about that.
We could do another podcast on communication skills through texting.
Mm-hmm.
You cannot carry on a relationship with somebody through texts. Texts are basically there to say things like, I am on my way. I'm running late. What time is the appointment? It's just a little bit of information gathering as opposed to how are you feeling today? What happened? You know, you're not asking for that kind of information in a text, in my opinion, because the messages do not come with tone of voice, which is what we rely on. They don't come with facial expressions, which is what you guys rely on. So there's so many misunderstandings, and those little emojis aren't going to be really helpful either.
I was going to suggest that. I'm like, what about emojis?
Yeah,
don't they explain a lot?
No, they don't. Well, yeah, but that's cheating. That's not the upfront and direct. So when you send a text or a little emoji that says rolling on the, by the way, in our cell phones, the emojis are described. So You get there's a description of emojis that are like rolling on the floor laughing. I'm thinking, I have in my mind what that looks like. I have no idea what the emoji looks like, but I think it's funny. But and yeah, that's a quick thing. Okay, you're gonna send a little smiley to somebody because they said thank you. Okay, fine. You know. But that's not that's just being polite. That's not relationship building. And that's, I guess, you know, we're talking about aggression and assertiveness and upfrontness and all that stuff. And it's good to even look at that part of the relationship. You know, if it's the receptionist at your doctor's office and you're there once a month, yeah, you probably spend a little bit more time gabbing with them because you see them once a month. If it's somebody that at, you know, the drugstore and you're just picking up your script, you know, there's appropriateness that goes with communication as well.
Yep, I totally agree with that too, that we should always remain, you know, professional. Mm-hmm. in public situations. Mm-hmm. And I like your advice about using text only for quick informational, mm-hmm. you know, communication, not to have a relationship, not for relationship building, not to have a real dialogue, but just for, like you mentioned, you know, telling somebody that you're running late, mm-hmm. or, you know, when you want to go get something to eat. Are you open? Are you free that day?
I have seen too many couples have arguments through texting.
That can't
it's,
be pretty.
It's not. No, I'll just say it's not.
I don't know what's worse. You know, seeing a couple argue in person,
yeah.
or argue in text.
Well, that's the age we're living in at the moment.
It is.
Yep.
It communication is definitely changing.
No, it's over my head. Yes. All right. So we covered quite a lot, Sharon, and communication. Mm-hmm. We talked about communicating, being open with family members, loved ones, with friends, as well as, you know, in the public, mm-hmm. and texting. And so the different kinds of communication where you can be assertive without being aggressive and being hostile. So there are positive ways to get your point across, and yes, so that those are great advice for both sighted and low vision individuals. So anything else, Sharon, that you want to add?
I think that especially within the dyad of
a sighted person and a person who has limited vision, for instance, you have to be mindful of the verbal communication, because we're not catching the facial expression, we're not catching the gestures. So for most sighted folks, they're looking at the nonverbal communication. We don't have that, and as a result, that's why you will hear us asking questions that seem to be pretty obvious to someone who is sighted. It's like, well, the book is right there on the table. Why are you asking me where is the book? You know, no, I didn't see it sitting on the table. So the verbal communication is something that's really important. And if you have spent most of your life doing nonverbals, can you imagine the shift that's going to take? But it's a shift well worth taking if you want to keep the relationship intact.
It's work.
Yep.
You know, you just got to continue working at it. That's right. You're aware of it. Right, right.
Change of vision, change of attitude.
That's right.
There you go.
All right. And I love, I'm going to end it by mentioning Sharon's phrase that I never forget, just don't be afraid to ask, always ask.
Yes, yes, yes.
Always ask. So that's the end of episode 5.
End of 5.
Communication. So for listener feedback, or if you want to share your story,
yes.
about your experience with communicating with loved ones, friends, or even in a public setting, mm-hmm. please, you can email us at mlbph@cmpl.org or give us a call, 586-286-1580. We love to hear from our listeners. Mm-hmm. And if you have, you know, anything that you want to share with us or any questions, please do share that via email or phone. All right, Sharon. So this is the end of Change in Vision, Change in Attitude, episode 5. And episode 6, we will talk about the holidays.
The holidays. Ah.
the holiday gathering. Yes, cooking for the holidays, interacting with all those people that you're gathering with to have a good time.
This is on good time.
Good time.
Yes. Yeah. All right.